This is our first Saturday message of 2022, and we have seen a lot of amazing things take place this last year, have we not? Politically, medically, financially, spiritually, and we've seen a great deal of change along the way, a lot of consternation as well, so, because 2021 brought some great challenges for all of us. In our lives, we saw death, illness, to say the least, food prices going through the roof, anxiety, loneliness, and just about everything was thrown at us this past year here. But here we are. We're still standing. Some may say, well, just barely, but we're still standing. Still pushing forward, looking to God for our hope, because He is our hope, right? For some, change was difficult, and it found them in a new home somewhere else. And for change, for many, change was imminent. But for others who were able to allow the change to take place, they now find themselves being totally blessed. I love hearing Jennifer when she talks about her home and her little pigs. By the way, they're getting big. But she loves it there. And Linda keeps warning, I hope she likes it. She loves it here. But a lot of times we see that that change didn't come without fear. For many of us, life finds us being used by God in ways that we never would have imagined. Can you imagine 5 years ago, God using your life the way He is today? No, making a meal, you know, coming up here to Fort Hill. We never knew God was going to do that. But no matter where we find ourselves today, my prayer for us is that we will not allow ourselves to become complacent and stay there. It's too easy to get used to things that we're doing. But the one thing we know for certain is that time refuses to stand still, does it not? Every night, Lynn and I sit in those chairs and say, I can't believe it is night again. Another night. But I find it amazing where God has Lynn and I both here today, here on Fort Hill, having people whose hearts and lives that He's entrusted us with. And it's a total blessing for us. We love it. We love the fact that you guys would come just to hear of Him, hear of His word. And oftentimes, in our walk with the Lord, we hear so many messages about New Year's and the resolutions, right? And I'm going to spare you of that tonight. Countless resolutions about losing weight and getting in better shape, which could be a good thing, but to be more diligent in reading God's word, which is not a bad resolution. But every year, over and over, the same thing, the same discouragement and defeat in not keeping them. Well, maybe that's just me, but maybe you have made resolutions that you've kept. But I've discovered a way to defeat all of that. This year, I find myself asking and pondering, Lord, what do you have for your people? It's about you. And of course, I'm along with that. What direction do you want us to go in, Lord? What is the priority for this fellowship called Connect Fort Hill, but also for the ministry of Connect to Life? One of the things that I know I've shared with Linda that God has put on my heart is to diligent work towards grief share and see what the Lord would do with that, you know, apart from our Saturday night. But it doesn't come without the messages that you've probably already heard. And all of us every year, we do that. We hear messages from the church. This year, we find that there's a need to get them back in order, to get them back in the pews, back in the chairs since COVID. Other messages I've heard about giving is the priority. And for some, they still pursue missions when we have a need for that right here in our own backyard. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against missions, but we have a need right here where we are. There are a lot of people who are hurting that don't go to church, that don't want to have anything to do with God, but they're hurting. And they want peace. They want to know how they can get peace in their life. And our job is to introduce them to the Prince of Peace, because we know this, God, only God can bring that peace that we need. Amen? Now, but there are different ideas, and there's so many out there, it can make your head spin. And so here's what I believe that God is calling us to. And as I've been praying about what to share for New Year, I was asking God for wisdom. How do I proceed in this? What do we do? What do your people need? What is it that I need? And I've entitled this message, A Proverbial New Year. So with that, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 3? Like that little play on words there, Proverbial New Year. I thought of it myself. Through the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. And it's my prayer today that as we study this proverb, that is what helps us to be found faithful in what God has called us to do, both corporately as a group and privately in our own homes. And whether it's going about our daily lives or Him wishing to use that life to reach others, but whatever it is, may this be a helpful tool for us. Now, we know that Proverbs is considered a book of wisdom, right? Say yes. You guys know that. The Bible tells us that if we lack wisdom, James 1:5, that we're to ask. And how we get it is by reading His Word. And so that is what we've come here to do. And as we look at these first 10 verses today, there's going to be five things that I want to highlight for us. As a matter of fact, this message is going to be broken up into two parts. I'll conclude the second part next week, and so that everyone can be a part of that. And so let's get started here. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon writes, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you." Now,
chapter 1,
3, verse 1. And I want to give you a caveat here that this is not going to be an exhaustive study of these verses. That's a whole different other thing I was looking at. And it's wonderful if you study this proverb the way it is, but it's going to be more of an overview for us. So in those first two verses, we see the first thing that I want to point out. And that's number one, read the Bible and get it into your hearts. That's the first thing we need to do in this coming year. And you say, Al, that's what we did last year. Well, we read it, but we really need to get it in our hearts, because he says, "But let your heart keep my commands." Why? "For length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you." Anybody here need peace?
Yes.
Amen. But how often I've encouraged this for all of us through this about this past year, and it's not just enough to read it, but to get it into our hearts. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes it can get kind of hard getting God's word in my heart, staying with it. Some people say, "Well, I just read it and it's there." Well, hey, good for you. I should be learning from you. But sometimes it's hard. But it's God's word that will not only keep us in our days ahead, but provide the peace of knowing it. And we're going to need a lot of peace. You know, when you turn on the news, they're throwing all those scare tactics. "Oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be the worst thing we've ever seen." No, it's not. The worst thing we could ever see is dying without Christ. All those people that are dying without Jesus, that's the worst thing we could ever see as believers. But they are doing that for a reason, because that's what controls the masses. So they throw fear. And God is saying here, hey, keep my word in your heart. And I would say that in these days that we're currently living in, we could use all the peace that we can get. Viruses galore, gas going through the roof, as well as our daily essentials like food. How dare they mess with our food, you know? And medicine. I didn't even ask you, but I'm sure the ribs were more than they were the last time we had them, right? Praise the Lord, we still get to have them. But may we rely on God's word. May we rely on it as much as we do our food or our vitamins or our medication to help keep us healthy. But in the peace that he promises there as well, look at verse 3. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart." Verse 4, "And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and of man." So, number 2, the second thing I want us to look at, verses 3 and 4, be compassionate and truthful in this coming year. Why? When we follow God's word and literally have them written on our hearts, we're going to find favor from him. Would anyone like to find favor from God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. It won't be in the works that we attempt to do, by the way, but in living out his word as if it was the blood that pumps through our hearts. Let God's word be what pumps through our heart. And I'd have to say that the problem with many in Christendom today is that they don't trust God to keep his word. I don't know about you, but I mean, even as early as today, when I went over to the store, as I was praying for John and Miranda, not like I'm some holy thing, but as I was praying with them, a thought hit me of how many people actually think that God doesn't answer prayer. People get sick and they don't get healed. You pray, but they don't get healed. But then you think, and all of a sudden the Lord was just reminding me, but they're building up antibodies. I can't build up the antibodies if they don't get sick. I'm like, that's right. But you realize that God is answering this prayer. So then it turned to, Lord, make them as comfortable as you can. Let them just go to sleep for a couple days and wake up. But because they have Blair. But some people today don't believe that God keeps his word. And the reason is not because he cannot be trusted. It's because we don't know him the way he wants us to know him. You've heard me say many times, you cannot trust someone that you do not know. You just don't. And our goal this year is to get to know him better. Amen? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Plain and simple is number 3. Trust God before you trust yourself. And you can throw or others in there as well. Trust God before you trust yourself and other people. Now, that's not to say that our family and friends or the ones that we confide in can't be trusted. But trust him before you trust them, okay? You know, this verse is often one of the most used verses when someone is trying to give out advice but fails to heed it themselves. Have you ever come across that? Yeah. Hey, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then you see them faltering like, hey, wait a minute. What happened? Well, that was for you. That's not for me. But question, do I really trust God with all my heart or just a portion of it? What part of my heart am I not willing to trust God with? My pain or my heartache or my finances or my lack of? Some would say, but I have been burnt and I can't allow myself to be vulnerable. We have to remain vulnerable before God. Why? Because he sees it anyway. I mean, what can you try to hide from him? Or where can you go? As David said, where can I go that you're not there? Even if I go to the grave, you're there. It's been said to put half trust in God and half trust in self or something else is really failure to trust the Lord at all. If you put half of your trust in him and half your trust in someone or something else, it's really a failure to trust God at all. And there's a lot to that. Another writer says, just as a wealthy human heart is at the center of the body and absolutely essential for physical life and health, and so too a healthy spiritual heart, the intellect, the emotion, the will, is at the center of one's inner being, their soul, and is vital for a healthy soul, serving as the fountain of all moral attitudes and actions. When we trust God with our whole heart, that's where he embeds those things in. Remember, Jesus said, out of the mouth speaks that which is in the heart, right? And this is what Solomon is talking about. But what is this writer saying by saying that? In essence, our spiritual heart thus controls our actions, and our actions determine our habits, which in turn determines our character. When God measures the worth of a man's life, catch this, he puts the measuring tape around his heart and not his head. That's huge, because it doesn't matter how much we know, it's what God has embedded in our hearts that changes us, that makes us compassionate, that helps us to trust him for what we have need of. And in this new year, if we've not trusted in God with all of our heart, begin now. Begin today, January 15th, 2022, and watch what happens in your walk and in your life. And as we look further at the words, it says, and lean not on your own understanding. Now, we know exactly what that means. The Hebrew word for lean, sha'an, means to rely on, to trust. But primarily means to lean on something or someone. Can you picture yourself leaning on Jesus? Don't stand straight up, but lean your whole body on him. Because wherever he goes, you better go. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. Lean on him. It means to rest on, resting one's full weight on, so to speak, to support one's self. What is holding us up? Is it our own intellect? Is it our own will? Or is it him? And lean not on your own understanding. And a good question to ask ourselves is, whose wisdom is greater, ours or God's? Then why do we lean on our own understanding of things sometimes? Well, for one, it's because it is our human, sinful, selfish nature to do that. God, I'll do this. I can take care of this. But see, mankind thinks at times that we know better than God regarding our circumstances. We do. And a good barometer for that is, have I always made good choices? No. Then guess what? His wisdom is much greater than mine. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made the bad choices. But it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How many of us know that God's direction is greater than ours? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not always have I acknowledged him in all my ways. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Have you ever been around somebody who is a character, somebody who thinks that they're very wise? I mean, they know everything, right? I mean, you know what's really dreadful is when the Lord showed me one day, it was out of Ephesians, and you too were just like them. I'm like, oh, Lord, I could be like that without even knowing it. But he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It is telling us, and this is the fourth thing that I want us to look at. Verse 7, 8 is literally saying, don't think highly of yourself. The man or the woman who thinks he and she is wise in their own eyes is merely deceiving themselves. If we have any wisdom at all, where did we get it from? God. But we think sometimes because the longer we live life, that naturally you're supposed to be wise, right? But wisdom comes from this book, not from in making mistakes over and over. Oh, we learn, at least we should. Don't make the same dumb mistake twice, three times, four times. But wisdom comes from God's word. And we cannot, as God's people, trust in our own wisdom. In your handout, I put this verse in there, Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of what?
Death.
How many times do I seem to think of things? And this has to be right. But if it's my way, if it seems right to me, does it seem right to God? Well, you know how you know? Ask him. Lord, is this right? And a lot of times we don't like the answer to that. No, don't do that. Or no, don't go there. Or no, don't buy that. Or no, you know, you're like, oh. That's why I joke during Christmas time. The song, my least favorite Christmas song, is Noel. Because every time I ask him for something, he's like, Noel. Noel. You can't have that. Look how the message translates that. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. There's a way that leads to death. And in this coming year, as we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord, we need to adhere to his word. I need his guidance. I need his wisdom. And when I do that, not only does it keep me from evil, but our verse tells us that it's going to be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And today, I need both those things. We all need that. Anybody need strength to their bones?
Yes.
I do. Need some health to this flesh. But we're given a similar exhortation in the book of Romans, and I've put that in your handout as well, Romans 12:3. Danny, would you mind reading that for me?
Romans 12:3?
Yes, sir.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Amen. Amen. Once again, listen how the message translates that. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Eugene Peterson kind of taking a long venture in there. I don't really teach out of the message, but sometimes when you hear how it's written out, it's like, basically those verses are, you know what, don't think highly of yourself, because whatever it is that you have, God gave it to you. He should get the glory. As a matter of fact, September 94, yeah, September of 94, this, I was at a retreat, and this was the verse that they gave us during the retreat. And all weekend long, I didn't get anything while I was there. And the morning that we left, though, that verse the Lord gave it to me. Little did I know that the next day I would be involved in a motorcycle accident. And the whole time the Lord was showing me, don't think more highly of yourself. And that's what I hung on to. Because there was a lot of people who wanted to kind of just elevate you and to, you know, put the glory there, but it was like, it was really weird. You know, a lot of times when police get in things and the news is all there and moral cameras everywhere and they just want it. And sometimes guys in uniform can kind of get a little showy, you know. I mean, I was there. I saw it. But lo and behold, who shows up but Roy Isom from KMJ Radio. Roy Isom, let me give you a little background about him. I used to listen to Roy Isom on AM radio when I was 13 years old. And he came up and he had a microphone and it said KMJ Radio. And he had a notepad. He had a recorder. That's all that was there. Just Roy. Good name, huh? And he starts asking me, can I get an interview from you? Sure. And it was just him and I and the brownies that a lady brought me and a cup of coffee.
This was when you got hit.
This is when I got hit. I'm sitting there and I'm looking around going, where's all the cameras? It was just Roy Isom. Little notepad. That's all it was. And he broadcasted it on the radio, right? There was no big fanfare. And that verse came up. The Lord said, you just learn. Don't think more highly of yourself. You know, what do you have that I haven't given you? And as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, he was growing me. Little did I know, though, what he was going to do from that point on. It's really interesting because this is why you hear me stating all the time. It's not about us. It is about Jesus and all that he's done for us. Watch what happens when we give total credence to him for every single thing. Don't be a nut job about it. You know, oh, praise the Lord. God. You know, I got up this morning, praise the Lord. Well, he gave you air. He gave you breath. But don't be a nut job about it to people. Because remember I said your words can either drive them to him or repel him. One of the things people do, like, that's all those Christians do, is they praise the Lord. They planted a tree and it grew. Oh, praise the Lord. Like, no. It's yeah, you thank God before you put it in the ground. Verse 9. I better get going. Verse 9. Solomon says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And that brings us to our fifth and final thing that I want us to point out. Verses 9 and 10 tell us, give from what God has given you. Give from what he has given you. You notice we can see a progression of what takes place when we trust God with all of our hearts. When the Lord becomes the priority in our lives, he is the one who gets the honor. And the more honor he gets, the more he works in our lives. Why? Because he's trying to reach other people. Giving to the work that he's placed us in, whether it's your time, your talents, or your treasures, it's going to reap dividends for you. You guys know we don't do to get, right? We don't give to get. There's just no way that you can outgive him when you give of your time, talents, and your treasures. I remember teaching Darren in a school one time. I pulled out a $20 bill and I told him, I read from this book that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Now I have a $20 bill that I want to give to someone. Of course, I said, who wants a $20 bill? And they all raised their hands. And so it was so cool because one girl in the back says, that's out of the Bible. And that's the reason why I did it. And it was so, I didn't give my $20 bill away though. It was like, I told him, I don't know how this works. It was a whole thing that I told him about giving compliments to one another out of their books. I said, I don't know how this works. I only know it does. When you give to someone, there's something in you that gets blessed by doing that. And somewhere down the road, the Lord brings somebody to bless you for that, without you even knowing it. And so if we give to him out of our first fruits, for one, you're going to be obedient to his word. Another thing is that you will never be in want of your need. Catch that. You know, be in want of your need. There's a lot of things that I want, but the things that I need, he's going to provide them for me. It doesn't just refer to money. It's in whatever I'm in need of. Maybe I need a storehouse of wisdom. And when I do my part, it comes. Maybe you're needing a touch from him physically. When we do our part, it comes. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And this year, that's my prayer, that we will trust him with every part of our heart. And for everyone in this room now, I can say, time is short. We need to trust every hour because the days are just flying by. But trust him with everything. Now, I'm going to kind of shift gears here for just a little bit in closing this thing up. And what I want to do is give us something that we can do to accomplish what this proverb is telling us. It's telling us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and don't lean on our own understanding. But I want us to give us something, how we can live life in such a way to trust him with everything. If you would kindly turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Let me know when you're all there, and I need a little bit of help. If somebody would read verses 12 through 14 for me.
Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The Apostle Paul uses some key phrases that I'd like to tie into this New Year's message for us. We came out of Proverbs and now we're in Philippians. And there's two things I want us to look at. Number one, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, you know what? I don't know everything. I don't have it all down. And the other thing, he says, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Okay? Now, I want to be clear of what Paul is not saying. He is not referring to the good things or the bad things that have happened to us. He's not saying, well, yeah, you had a bad marriage. Forget about it. Just move on. You had a death in your family. Oh, it's okay. He's not saying that. That's not what this is about. Okay? How do I know that? Because the context for this, if you're still in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 10. This is the context for those verses. He says in verse 10, that I may know him, who's that? Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Have you come to know the fellowship of his suffering? Yes, in our trials, in our pain. But he says, being conformed to his death. If you recall, Paul is urging the church in Philippi. If you look with me, go up to verse 3. He says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He is saying to put all of your trust in the one who can be trusted, just as we saw in Proverbs. A person who trusts in self or in his flesh, or if a person trusts in himself, what he's doing, he's putting trust in his flesh. Okay? Verse 3, and although I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. What's Paul saying? Hey, look, I was all fleshed out. Okay? I was the one who lived in the flesh. I was the chief of sinners. I have lived in the flesh more than any of you because I persecuted you people. Verse 5, he says he was circumcised the eighth day. He's given a litany of all the stuff that he's done, right? Look at his flesh. I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, not just a Hebrew, but a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He's saying basically, you know what? I don't have anything. I am nothing apart from what Jesus did. What was the thing? Verse 10. Look at that again with me. That I may know him. By the way, that is the word gnosko. That I may know him intimately and by relationship, not just know of him. A lot of people today know of Jesus. Oetus. They know him by revelation. Why? Because they've read it in here. But do they really know him by relationship? See, that's where Lynn and I were talking about this the other day, how hard that is. In those days, we don't want to be one of those people that Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, worker of iniquity. But Lord, I did Bible studies in your name. I did this, I did that. Do you want to know that it is going to be shocking to hear this? But there are going to be some people in the pulpit that are going to be some of those folks. I cringe at that and I fear that. And it drives me to my knees and say, Lord, please, not me. I don't want to be that person. How do I keep from being that person? He is telling us it is not in what we learn. It's in who Jesus is. He's telling us the way forward is not to look back on what they thought they knew about God. Now, I'm not saying for you to forget what you've learned this past year. I'm saying, let it go. Let's move forward. Let's learn more of him, because it's all about what Christ has done for us. God wants us to do, he wants to do a new work in his church this coming year and the coming years that are to come. And for many, it means having to leave behind traditions. Paul says, one thing I do is I let go of those things. I move on. Now, I'm not going to belittle the church in 2022. That's one of the things that God said. Don't put the church down anymore. But he's going to do a new work. And he's saying, I need you to let some of those things go. But this is how we've always done it. That's what I'm hearing. And we've always done it this way. I saw a video when somebody asked me to look at, and it was a men's conference. And I was watching it, and I thought I went back 20 years. I'm like, we did that 20 years ago. I'm like, isn't there something new? It's all the same. God wants to do another work. And the only way he's going to do that is if his people will come alongside him and let go of some of the things that need to be let go. And sometimes it's hard to forget. One writer says, if God has moved forward and we're in the same place, we're backslidden. If he's already moved on and we're still in the same place, hanging on to tradition, and I'm hanging on to this, I'm hanging on the way we do. He said, hey, I'm not even there no more. I'm over here. I want to be where God is. And sometimes it's hard to forget or to let go of ideologies. But if God is asking us to, we need to hear what he's saying. He's saying, move forward. Move forward in your walk with him. Move forward in your love with him. Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I was relieved to find out that I'm not the only one who forgets. And that's why I gave you guys that in your sheet there. Karen Bola, John Hopkins researcher, said these are the things that people most often forget. Names, 83%. As Danny said, put that at 90 for me. Or where something is, that's 99 now today for me. Linda, where did you put this?
It's always where I put it.
Exactly.
Telephone numbers. Do you remember a time when you could remember people's phone numbers? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we had a little book to make sure. But you could remember people's numbers in your head. Now we just push a button like, well, what's their phone number? I don't know. It just comes up. Number four, words. I cannot tell you how much that is hitting me this past year. You're talking and the word is there and you can't even remember it. What was I going to say? I don't know. Or what was said?
I can't repeat things.
Yeah, 49%. Faces, 42%. I do pretty good with that. Unless it's the person who comes up to me and goes, hi, Pastor Al, do you remember me? No. Should I?
I got to say, with these masks, it's hard.
Yes. Yes. We heard a little tidbit yesterday where they said that, is it in Europe somewhere? They said that women are finding men more attractive with masks. And so they said, you guys do know that's a ploy to get guys to wear masks, right? Because if one guy said, if you're ugly, you need to wear a mask. And if you can't remember whether you've just done something, you join 38% of the population. You walk into the room to go get something, and you stop and you ask yourself, what was I going to get? I don't remember. I mean, I have even backtracked and can't remember what it was I was supposed to go get.
I ask.
Yeah. I probably have to write it all. That's why Linda writes notes to everything. She makes lists of everything, because I'll forget.
I'm not Sherry. I'm like, honey, what was I going for? She's like, how do I know?
Speaking of forgetting, we're like this story I heard about a city dweller who was visiting relatives on a farm, and the farmer gave a whistle, and his dog herded the cattle into the corral and then latched the gate with her paw. Wow, that's some dog. What's her name? The forgetful farmer thought for a minute. And then he asked the guy, what do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on it? A rose? Yeah, that's it. The farmer turned to his wife. Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog? How many of us can relate to that? The Apostle Paul.
It's funny in a couple ways.
Yes. The Apostle Paul says, forgetting, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what he's doing. I'm going to forget those things and I'm going to reach forward. I'm going to look forward. And it's time for us to move forward and not allow ourselves to stay stuck in the fear of the world around us. Something we were talking about at the meal. Fear has been introduced to us. Why? Because it is a tool that Satan has used from the beginning of time. And it works. But God is calling us now to say, you know what? Trust me. Don't trust the politicians. Don't trust this person or that. Trust me. And I'm going to share more on this next week when prayerfully we'll all be together. But a couple of questions I have for us, and they're on your sheet. And I want you to take those. We're not going to answer them today, but I want you to take those and think about them through this next week. Number one, when does my anxiety about this life hit me hardest? When does it hit me? Is it when we turn the TV on or late at night or, you know, when we are, you know, yeah, life issues. Health issues. Health issues. Maybe I need to learn to talk.
Check at the end of the month when it reads zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Number two, what do the verses we study today say about how I should live? Number three, which do we know more? I forgot to put we. Which do we know more? The news of the day or God's word? And the most important one, number four, when did God stop being in control of things? We're called to move forward in Christ. And there's a reason for this, because there are others who need to see Jesus because the time is short. They don't want to hear, I'm telling you right now, they don't want to hear our words. They want to see Jesus. And how we do that is by enduring. Yes, even when it becomes tough, being around, you know, heathens can be tough sometimes, but we have to endure. And our goal in 2022 is to become a mature in Christ. And as we look at verse 15, Paul says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. He's saying the mature person in Christ will be reaching upward to the call of Christ and will know it is all about him. He will learn about the sufferings of Jesus and the resurrection of that cross. That is a powerful thing that happened that day. Now, we seem to think that God can't do that today. He wants to show himself strong. And lastly, in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I love that. This year, let us all grow in the things of God. And as we seek him and are built up in him, we're going to see things we probably never seen before in him. Warren Wiersbe says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? You do not move ahead by constantly looking in a rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. We must learn from the past, not to live in the past. So learn from the past, but don't live in the past. The prophet Isaiah gave a similar exhortation as Isaiah 43:18. If you're taking notes, I forgot to put that in there for you. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's awesome. This year, what will he do in my life? What will he do in your life? Or what will he do up here at Fort Hill in 2022? As we trust in the one who can be trusted. See, that verse out of Isaiah is easy for us. And rivers in the desert? We look at it and go, that's no big deal. He gives us rivers every week. But what about your circumstance? If he can throw a river in the desert, our circumstances are nothing for him, right? We got to trust in the one who can be trusted, and that's him. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look to your word, and your word is true, and your word is right. And Lord, wherever it is that we need to change, we pray that you would help us to do that this year. Help us to just be directed, Lord, that we can trust you with all of our hearts, not just part of it, not three quarters of it, but all of it, no matter what. And that we'll see you manifested, Lord, in living color amongst us, Lord. We thank you for this time we've spent together in